produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Jude, the Epistle of Jude. And we're going to just start our reading at verse 24 and end it with verse 25, because that's all that's left. And it reads something like this, very popular passage of scripture, y'all. It reads like this. It says, "Now unto him," and I'm reading from the English Standard Version, "now unto him who is able to keep you from stumbling, your version may say falling, and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, and now and forever. Amen." For the remaining time that I'm allowed to share with you guys, I want to look at somebody and say, "Neighbor, come check out my God." Come check out my God. Come check out my God. Brothers and sisters, how did you find out about your favorite restaurant? How did you find out about your favorite store to shop? How did you find out about that recipe that you like about with the chicken and the dressing and the greens? How did you find out about remedies that help you coexist with injuries or some type of disease? How did you find out about your favorite team, the Cowboys? Amen. But Mama, I ain't gonna go there with you today. Listen. How? Somehow or way or another, you were invited to check out that place, person, or thing. There's the story of this man that is sick. He's ill in his body. And doctors give up on him. He finds out about this special doctor who is not very known, doesn't really have a successful practice, but is dedicated to this remedy that he's came up with. He's ill, doctors then gave up on him, and he has this diagnosis, and he says, "What do I have to lose?" He goes and he checks out this doctor. And the doctor gives him this remedy, and the man's life is changed. He goes from being sick to now being well. He's in the grocery store, and he's listening to a man and his wife have a conversation. And then as he's ear hustling, as us brothers and sisters like to do, amen. He hears him says this particular illness. And he goes aisle to aisle with this wife and this husband, listening to them. And the husband finally gets fed up with the man going aisle to aisle. He says, man, what you trying to do? Check out my wife? And he says, no, that's not why I'm following you. He says, I heard you say something about a diagnosis you received. He says, I received the same diagnosis a few years back. He says, and I know what the doctors are telling you, and I know what you feel like. But he says, if you just would trust me, come check out this doctor I know. I'm sure he can help you. The man, finally convinced by his wife to go check out the doctor, goes and see the doctor. The doctor gives him the remedy, and his life is changed. He's healed. The man in the grocery store is healed. They finally come together and they say, listen, this doctor deserves to have notoriety. He's changed our life. He's this remedy has healed us. We've got to do something to help. They come together and they start doing commercials and doing campaigns for this particular doctor. And the doctor, people find out about the doctor, and the doctor becomes a multimillionaire because two people said, come check him out. Brothers and sisters, might I suggest a question to you? When was the last time we told somebody, come check out our great God? Is he not the God who healed you? Is he not the God that saved you? Is he not the God that delivers you time and time again? Is he not the God that wakes you up in the morning? Is he not the God that starts you on your way? When was the last time you told somebody, come check out my God? In a world that's full with marketing and strategy, and where everybody is coming out the closet, everybody wants to be more vocal and expressive. We, the body of Christ, have we gotten too quiet about the God we serve? Come check out my God. You know, we want to build our own cliques in our churches and make this a sorority and make it a fraternity. But the truth is, the Bible says that he wants us all to come together. When was the last time you said, come check out my God? Here we find ourselves in this pericope of scripture. Jude is actually, y'all, the brother, half brother of Jesus. But when he writes this letter, he does not give us that information. He only tells us that he's a servant of God, but he's the brother to James. Ooh, I like people that don't have to name drop. Oh, God, here. And so Jude tells us, he writes this letter, and he tells us in this letter, he says, I'm not writing this letter with the intention that I initially had. I wanted to write this letter and let it be celebratory and me talk about the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We got a problem in the church. Preach, P, I'm coming. He says, we got a problem in the church because the problem that he's seeing is he's seeing false teachers in the church. Walk heavy, P, I'm going to try. He says, the problem with the church that I'm seeing is we got some wolves in sheep clothing. We got some people that's giving out false information. Doesn't it sound like today where preachers and expositors of God's word is getting up to talk about smack your neighbor, high five, name claim, and dance on it, and then it's just yours? No, baby, that ain't the way my God works. My God is a processing God. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that I ask or think. But sometimes he likes to take his time and work me through some stuff. Jude says, we got some problems with the people because of some people that look like us, talk like us, but don't got the heart like us. And I submit to you, my brothers and sisters, that you can talk the talk and walk the walk all you want. But if your heart is not truly in the posture of Jesus Christ, then baby, you on the wrong track. And you better find a way to get back on the right track. And Jude says to us, he says, there's two main things in this letter of Jude. He says, it's not a very long book. It's only 25 verses, and there's two things in it. The first thing is he's trying to expose false teachers. The second thing he's trying to do is he's trying to encourage believers to contend for the faith and to finish strong. This word contend literally means Jude is saying, quit being a punk and fight about your Jesus. Have we become a people who's ashamed to pray at work and who's ashamed to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ? I just really believe at age 38, we didn't got too quiet as believers. We've got to get back to telling people, come see Jesus. Baby, I don't know. I don't got all the answers, but come see Jesus. I know you got that addiction, but come see Jesus. I know you got that problem in your marriage, but come see Jesus. Y'all still ain't feeling me. I said, but we got to get back to pointing people back to Jesus. We got to get back to pointing people back to Jesus. It's not about your fame or fortune. It's not about your popularity and how many followers you can get on Instagram and Facebook. But if we can just get Jesus back as the central idea of our churches, I just believe that we can make the world a better place. And so Jude has these two main things. He talks about these false teachers. He deals with it very heavily. He calls these false teachers, he calls them fruitless trees. He calls them wild. He calls them the wild waves of the sea. He says these people are dreamers. They don't see things clearly. Oh, God help me here. But then he gets to the last two verses and he wants to do what he intentionally wanted to do the whole time, and that's encourage and point you back to Jesus. He does what the Bible calls a doxology. And for those of us that don't know what a doxology is, a doxology is an affirmation that gives us clear understanding and direction of the glory of Jesus Christ. So Jude says, I know I've been fussing. I know I've been telling y'all about false teachers, but let me not forget to encourage you and point you back to the glory of our Jesus Christ. Let me stop here. I know you've been going through your problems and your tests, and I know you got your sickness on. I know you got your diagnosis. I know you got things on your heart, but let me point you back to Jesus. And I just stopped by here on this morning, this young preacher trying to tell y'all about a man named Jesus who hung, bled, and died for all our sins. And he's the one that can mend our broken hearts. He's the one that can make our way straight. He's the one that can deliver us. He's the one that can save us. And I'm just here to tell you, let's check out our God. And Jude gives us three reasons. He gives us three reasons why we ought to check out God. And then I'll take my seat and we can go get some fried chicken, sweet potatoes, macaroni and cheese, greens, and some hot water cornbread. You cooking that after church? Come holler at me. Shake my hand real good. Listen, the first reason he says you ought to come check out God is he says you ought to come check out God because of the enablement of God. Let everybody say the enablement. The enablement of God. Look at what the text says. The text says, now unto him who is able. This word, able, literally means to have the power. Oh, God, help me. He's saying, Jude tells us the reason you ought to come check out God is because he is the power. Oh Lord, help me. You may want to categorize God as a resource, but I've come to correct you. He is not a resource. He is the source. And when you treat God like he's the source, it's nothing he can't do. Okay, you still sleep on me. I'm gonna come get you. I'm gonna knock on your door and please answer me. My nephew was sitting. We was at the crib, and he was saying God is the plug. That's that new people talk. You know, them young people talk a little bit different. He said, God is the plug. And I sat there wanting him, you know, to express himself because, you know, they different. He said, God is the plug. I said, he's the plug. And I just sat there and I said, God is the plug. And I kept saying it, you know, because it sounded cool. But I was, God is the plug. And then I looked at the plug, but I realized that in order for the plug to get power, it had to go into the wall. And so I sat there and I said, nephew, you really think God is the plug? He said, yeah, God is the real plug. He got proud thinking he's talking real good and fresh. And I sat there in that couch and I just looked at him. I said, no, bro. I said, you ought to think about this. I said, do me a favor. Take that plug out of the wall. He said, okay. I hit the switch because the switch was attached to the wall. Where the power was. Y'all gonna sleep on me today. I hit the switch. He took the plug out. I said, now put it back in. He put the plug back in, but it didn't give the equipment any power. So then I said, that plug doesn't have any power, does it? He said, no. He said, why doesn't it have any power? I said, I flipped the switch again. I said, take the plug out again. He took it out. I flipped the switch back up. I said, now put the plug back in. He said, all right. He put the plug back in and the TV turned back on and the lights turned back on and everything in the house turned back on. What you trying to say, P? I'm glad you asked. You can't put God as a resource because he is a source. He is the power. Jesus sings that song that back in the day. I got the power. He is the power. He is the source of our strength. He is the strength of our life. There's nothing he can't do. He fills us. He equips us. He encourages us. He heals us. He delivers us. He is the power. He's able because he has the power. He has the power. And so the enablement gives him the power. But then in his enablement, the Bible says that now unto him who is able to keep you from falling, to keep you, hold on, his enablement keeps you. Woo, preach, P, I'm trying. His enablement keeps you. See, I thought y'all would have ran and shout like me when you know you only been saved by God's grace. But this word, let me work a little harder. This word keep, literally in the Greek, means to guard and protect. Have you ever been in life where you seen God keep you? You know that time when you was somewhere where you wasn't supposed to be and God kept you. That time when you was at that stoplight and it turned green but God said wait a minute and that accident came running past you, he kept you. That time where you went to the doctor, you got that diagnosis and you went for that x-ray and all of a sudden they couldn't find what they diagnosed you with, he kept you. That time you was praying about that wonder wayward child that you got back at the house and you've been asking God to keep them and they coming home crying and you don't know what they're crying about, but it's your prayers because God's been keeping them. I wonder if I got anybody that can testify in this house this morning and say God will keep you. Ah, he will keep you.
He will guard you. He will protect you. When people think they lies and they criticisms of you can destroy your life, God has a way of keeping you.
He has a way of keeping you. He said, this word keep means to guard, protect. God, can I tell y'all something? Can I tell y'all something? God is on duty for you. Oh God, all right, y'all don't like y'all sleeping on me. God is on duty for you. And the Bible says that he's not a man that slumbers or sleep. Lord have mercy. And he's not a man that will forsake you. I'm so glad God is like that, because there's been time I picked up my cell phone and called some people who I thought was going to be there for me, and they sent me the voicemail. There were some times where I got on Facebook and tried to get people to understand where I was coming from, and they didn't understand me at all. But the songwriter wrote it like this: what a friend we have in Jesus. What griefs we share. Oh, because we do not carry everything to God. God is on duty. God is on duty. God is on duty for you. The second thing that we see in the text is the reason why you ought to come check out God is the presentation of making you an example. The presentation of making you an example. That's why you ought to come check out God. Look at what God says in this word, in this doxology. He says, now unto him who is able to keep you from falling. Oh, Lord, have mercy. And present. Lord, have mercy. This word present literally means to make you stand. Lord have mercy. Have you ever been ready to throw in the towel, and you ever been ready to quit? You cried yourself to sleep and you was like, I'm done with this. I ain't going back to church. I don't even want to try God no more. I'm just sick and tired of being sick and tired. God, I've been doing the best I can, and it seems like you ain't been doing what I think you ought to do. And since I'm at my wit's end, I'm just going to go for broke and going crazy. And then somehow or away, another God gives you the ability to wake up that next morning, go to that job that ain't paying you enough, deal with that supervisor that's getting on your nerves, go to that family reunion and see all these backstabbing family, crooked family members. God has a way of just keeping you standing when you're ready to give up. Have I got a witness that God will keep you standing? He says, I'm going to keep you standing. He says, I'm going to present you. I'm going to keep you standing. But then in that, he says, I'm going to let them see you how I want them to view you. You know what I love about God? He don't ever let people see you how you really are. Preach, Pierre. I'm trying. I wish I had a church with me this morning. Yeah, he don't let people see you the way that you really are. You know, you could be broken and disgusted, but you come to church smiling and profiling, and you don't even know why. You see them talking about you, and you be thinking in your head, if you only knew, baby, all the hell I've been going through. It's God that's been keeping me from. I just need to poll the room. Is there anybody that can testify? He's been keeping me. He's been keeping me. I've been wanting to cut some folk out. He's been keeping me. I've been wanting to throw in the towel. He's been keeping me. I've been wanting to do this and do that. But he's been keeping me. He's been keeping me. He's been keeping me. He's presenting me. He's making me stand. But then he's letting them see me in a way that I'm really not. God, I love you. I love you, Jesus. He says, the text says, now unto him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you blameless. Or your text may say faultless. Well, church, the last time I checked, the Bible told me
all sin and fall short of the glory of God. Tap your neighbor and say, that's you too. That's you too. So help me with my argument. If all sin and fall short of the glory of God, then why is God making me look like I'm blameless? Lord, help me. He's been keeping me looking good when I've been feeling broken. He's been keeping me looking rich when I ain't got a dollar and 15 cents. He's been keeping my mind when I've been ready to go crazy and go for. He's been keeping my heart, and God knows it's broken into pieces. He's been keeping my house when it's fully divided. He's been keeping me look like I ain't really is. I ain't really blameless, but he lets them see me blameless. You know, that's why some people can't stand you, because they know your history, but they see how God keep blessing you. They know what you used to do, but they don't know how God has remade you. Preach, Pierre, I'm so glad I serve a God that will make me look like how I'm really not. I'm not really blameless, y'all. I'm really the one to blame. Oh, Lord, thank you. I'm trying to hold myself. He says, I'm going to let them look at you blameless. He says, but when you stumble, this word stumbling in the text means to keep you sure-footed. Well, I had to look up what it means to be sure-footed. And it made me think about this one particular movie. It's my favorite movie. When you're off balance and your back is crooked as a politician. Back in the day, they used to give you braces on your legs, and the doctors would tell you, I gotta put these braces on your legs to help straighten your back and keep you what? Sure-footed. Preach, P, I'm trying. Here's what God, so in the movie Forrest Gump, his mama told him your back was as crooked as a politician. But then she told him something else, y'all, that blessed me. She told him miracles happen every day. He had the braces on, and when the enemy came to attack him and started throwing rocks at him, there was a prophetess by the name of Jenny that told Forrest, run, Forrest, run. How in the world you gonna tell somebody with a crooked back and braces on their leg, that a person that can't keep their own balance, to run? But the prophetess Jenny said, run, Forrest, run. They throwing rocks at him, hit him in the head, knocked him down. He got back up, and all of a sudden he just had the faith to listen to what the prophetess Jenny said. He started trying to run, and his try turned into a better try. And all of a sudden, what his mama had spoke way before, miracles happen every day. God took him and made him sure-footed without the braces. Okay, y'all gonna sleep on me. This is what God does for us. We sinful people, we crooked, we fraud, we flaw, but God puts braces on us called grace and mercy. Y'all won't let me preach. And that grace and that mercy is what help us run along when we're not sure-footed. Look at somebody and say, the only way I've been keeping my balance is grace and mercy been following me. For the Bible says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Somebody ought to lift your hands and tell God, thank you for grace and mercy. I got one more. got one more, and then I'm looking for that fried chicken. I got one more. The last reason you ought to come check out God is the enjoyment he gets. I promise y'all, I'm getting ready to close this thing. Have y'all ever had people do something for you and they made you feel weary about what they did for you? They helped you pay a bill and they never let you forget it. Girl, don't you remember I gave you my last $20 2 years ago? And you know that was my last $20. You gonna act like, baby, that was 2 years ago that you gave me $20. And so people don't always get a joy keeping you, helping you, keeping you sure-footed, and allowing you to look like how you really not. People don't do that. People will do something for you and then go spread your business all across the nation. Talk to me if you can. People, look at me, because you may be sitting next to people. People don't always get joy out of watching you overcome what's been kicking you down. People. But the Bible tells us in this text that the reason you ought to come check out God is because, one, he's not like people. Two, when he do something for you, he's more excited about doing it for you than you are excited about getting it yourself. I'm going to take a sip of water real quick. The Bible says that the Bible says he presents you blameless before the presence of his glory. So when God is letting you go through some stuff, he's creating an atmosphere for his glory. You've been weeping in the night. You've been trying to figure out what God is up to. But he's been setting up an atmosphere where his glory can be present. And so when his glory gets present, he says, before the presence of the glory, he says, but then when I do what I do in your life, I got joy. This word joy in the Greek, its original etymology, it literally means that when God says with great joy, he's literally saying, I have an exuberant experience. He says, I have wild joy. Preach, Pierre, I'm coming. He says, I have an ecstatic delight. What are you saying, P? I'm glad you asked. God loves blessing you so much that when he does it, he just starts going crazy like you scored a touchdown. Woo! Lord have mercy. I was watching the game with my little nephew again. And I turned him into a Cowboys fan. God be praised. And don't you look at me funny. Don't you look at me funny. We sitting there watching the game, and you know that guy named Dakota was having a bad game. Lord have mercy. God bless him. Touch him right now in the name of Jesus. Dakota was having a bad game, y'all. He was stumbling. He was falling. He was having a bad game. He throwing interceptions. He just was in a bad state. Lord help me, somebody. And so I'm sitting there and I'm getting discouraged. I'm the one that will turn the game off, throw my jersey in the trash, and go find something else to do, fall asleep, do something. I don't know. I gotta get it off my mind because I'll be stressed out. So I'm sitting there with my nephew and he telling me this. Uncle P, it's going to be all right. There's four quarters to play. He kept so much joy in the room that every time they would get a first down, he would act like it was a touchdown. But I messed around and I, you know, did the Baptist nap during the game. And when I came back, I woke up to him screaming and hollering. And he was running around the room. And I said, boy, what is you doing? But I looked at the TV and I seen the Cowboys had took the game by 1 point. And it was because Dakota had ran it in for a touchdown. God dropped a little nugget on me. He said, sometimes I let you have three bad quarters, but I show up in the fourth quarter to let everybody know that since you're a child of mine, that I can't let you lose. The only thing I can do is keep you from falling. Keep you from losing. And when you feel like you're having a bad game, what I'll do is I'll make it look like you're having a good one. When I know you done threw many interceptions, you done had many fumbles on the play. But God will keep you. Well, I was sitting with that same nephew, and I'm gone now, y'all. Thank y'all for having me. I was sitting with that same nephew, and I said, well, now unto him. And my nephew, being young like he is, he said, well, Uncle P, who is him? I'm gone. He said, who is him? I said, you don't know who him is? He said, no, who is him? I said, okay. I said, but I took a look at my Bible, if you will, please. In the verse 25, it says, to the only wise God. I want y'all to know that he is the only wise God. Him is and the only wise God. Have I got a witness in here? Him is the only wise God. You can trap Buddha, but Buddha can't do it like the only wise God. You can try the universe and the stars, but they're not like the only wise God. You can get on Ayala, fix your life, but he's the only one that can fix your life. You can try you should try therapists and counselors, but you need the only wise God. Have I got a witness? It says to the only wise God, our Savior. Anybody know he's our Savior? One Friday, they took him to a hill called Calvary, marched him up Golgotha's hill, put nails in his hands, put nails in his feet. They pierced him in his side. Didn't they do that to him? Yes, Lord. And they put a crown of thorns on his head. They mocked him. They talked about him. They did all that to him. He died. Didn't he die? I thought y'all would have got happy, because when he died, that guilt died. When he died, that disease died. When he died, that brokenness died. When he died, that struggle died. I thought y'all would have got happy, because he died. But that's not how the story is. The Bible says that he stayed there all day Friday. He stayed there all day Saturday. But somebody ought to lift your hands and say, early, 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 he got up with all power in his hands. My nephew asked, who is him? I said, not one to him. I said, to the only wise God who is able to keep me from falling. I said, he's our Savior. He's the one that wakes me up in the morning. He's the one that starts me on my way. He's the one that when my mind is in trouble, he comes and give me peace that surpasses my understanding. When my heart is broken into pieces, my Jesus, that's who he is. The text says he's our Lord, which means he's our ruler. Is there anybody not too ashamed that'll lift your hands and say, he's my Lord. He makes me talk right. He makes me walk right. He makes me love my enemies. When I want to cuss you out, I tell you, God bless you. When I want to fight you, it makes me pray for you. Ain't God all right? He's my Lord. Ain't the Lord all right? But that's not all. The Bible says that he's the one with all power. He's the one with the dunamis power. He's the one that can fix whatever's broken. Have you ever had a problem that you couldn't solve? Have you ever been down the valley? Have you ever had the weapons formed? Have you tried my Jesus? Anybody know he's all right? Anybody know he's all right? I said, anybody know he's all right? Won't he walk with you? Won't he talk with you? Won't he tell you that you are his own? Ain't the Lord all right? I gotta get out of here. But I love this text because it not only says that he can do all these things, it not only tells us who him is, but then it tells us how long he can do it. You see, I only got strength for so long. As big as my brother is, he only got strength for so long. Those football players, they only got strength for so long. But I'm reading in this Bible, right here in this text, that he's the same God now, and he'll be the same God later. The Bible says now and forever. Well, let me ask a question and see if you know him. Do you know Jesus? Have you tried him? Do you know that he'll work it out? Wave your hands and say, he'll do it. He'll fix my heart. He'll fix my marriage. He'll fix my life. Yes. 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 Is there anybody that just don't mind about standing up to your feet and giving God a high five? Give him an air high five and say, you did that thing, God. You did that thing, God. You did that thing, God. After every great play on the football field, you see the players giving a high five to the one that did the great play. Well, last time I checked, he woke me up this morning. High five, Jesus. He put food on my table. High five, Jesus. He started me on my way. High five, Jesus. He didn't let me lose my mind. High five, Jesus. When my enemies came to destroy me, he let them stumble. High five, Jesus. Is there anybody that want to give God a high five? Can I tell y'all one more thing? Can I tell y'all one more thing? I know he's all right. If you know he's all right, if you know he's all right, say yes, say yes, say yes, say yes, say yes, say yes. I know he's all right.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.